Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Monster night from Brad Beal looks like it's not going to be enough as the Wizards are down by 13, 7 minutes to go in the game. Heist just gave you part of that information. Beal's got to be getting close to 40 at this point. Oh, well. Story of the Wizards season. Brad's awesome. They're not. I'm Craig Hoffman. It's Overtime on The Fan. I'm headed to Indianapolis next week where I will get to see my good friend, NFL reporter, Eric Edholm. And I mentioned that because he's with us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Eric, what's up, man? How are you?
Everything's good, man. Good to be here. What's going on?
Oh, just a lovely Friday night on the radio talking some football. I want to run some numbers by you that I put in a piece that I did. Just it's a very basic statistical analysis because that's the only kind of statistical analysis that I'm capable of. But if you parse the NFL starters, you have to take a couple of liberties with who a starter is. Like, I still counted Bortles for Jacksonville while knowing that he's not going to be next year because it was just the easiest way to do it. You have 24 of the 32 starting quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round, four more in the second round, and then only six after the third round. What do you make of that information and how a team like the Redskins, who needs a quarterback, should approach the draft, knowing that, while also knowing that drafting a quarterback in the first round is by no means a home run pick?
Yeah, and yet it, you know, the need is always there, and we've seen teams go younger and younger and give those first round picks opportunities or the young quarterbacks opportunities. So, I mean, you know, you almost think about like when Andy Dalton went 35th the same year Colin Kaepernick went early in the second. I mean, you know, I think had that panic been there at that time, those guys would have been mid first round picks because of that need. So, yeah, that's smack dab where the Redskins are picking right now. What are they, 15th in the draft? You know, it's the same spot the Arizona Cardinals were picking a year ago, and they, in a deep draft for quarterbacks in round one, they had to trade up, you know, what, five, six spots to get their guy in Josh Rosen. So, who may not even be their guy this year. We don't even know. That's how crazy this whole this whirlwind thing is with the draft. But, yeah, it obviously has sped up the timetables a lot. I think the talent level is good in terms of producing college quarterbacks that are more ready for the NFL and the NFL being more willing to adapt to their systems that they're used to. So, yeah, I would think even at 15, they're going to be sweating out some picks if they feel like their guy's going to fall to them. May need them to kind of move up a little bit.
Curious if you've ever had any conversations with or about Kevin O'Connell, who will play a large role in deciding who the next quarterback is here and evaluating. He's obviously been elevated to offensive coordinator, was the quarterback's coach here last year. I have a good sense of Kevin just from talking to him during the season. And we did a couple of interviews that were great. And I was really impressed, specifically with one interview we did in training camp. It was like a 20-minute interview. And just, I was like, man, this guy seems to really get it. But it's one thing to cover a guy and then see him work a little bit. Versus what you kind of hear around the league. You have the better sense of the around the league. What do you think of Kevin O'Connell, and what are the kind of the league think of Kevin O'Connell?
Well, yeah, and the last time I talked to him, just so everybody knows, was right after he was drafted in round three by the New England Patriots. And I think it was round three. We were out in California for the rookie premiere event, kind of there. They get to shoot their little football card thing. And so this is 10 years ago now. And I was sort of shocked at how mature and intelligent he was then. I mean, he was a 22-year-old guy or whatever. And he talked like a coach. He talked like a 5-year veteran quarterback or whatever. And you just said to yourself, well, if this guy isn't a good player, he'll have a coaching career. That's exactly what I wrote and thought at the time. And here we go. You know, he's one of these young, highly respected offensive-minded coaches who are, you know, populating the league so frequently these days. But, yeah, he's well-respected. I think, you know, I think what the Patriots saw in him as a player is kind of what the book on him as a coach was. You know, ability-wise, was he special in college? No. But he was smart, creative. You know, he kept plays alive a lot as a player. And I think, you know, I think he's willing to adapt his system to somebody who can move around a little bit. So, you know, I think he's going to require his quarterback to have a lot of quick thinking ability, you know, because that's kind of what he was as a player in college, having to kind of dissect things without the great physical ability. But, you know, it's hard to know how much input he gets exactly. It's hard to know, you know, if they're choosing between Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray. Well, they're really two totally different sets of quarterbacks right there. Both are attractive for different reasons. Both have their flaws for different reasons. So, you know, if it's Drew Lock, we're talking about a whole different category. That's, you know, if we're just looking at the draft possibilities, that's what's so interesting to me, is that a lot of different styles this year. And I guess you could say that I could picture them going in a couple of different directions because of his experience as a coach and as a player.
I want to follow up on that in a second, specific to these quarterbacks. Eric Edholm is our guest on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Longtime NFL reporter. He is with me, Craig Hoffman, here on 106.7 The Fan. But I want to ask you the same question I just asked you about O'Connell, about Jay Gruden. Like, at this point around the league, what is the thought on Jay Gruden? Because so many fans here, because of the way seasons have played out, have soured just because they look at the record and go, ah, no playoffs, not good enough. But what is Jay Gruden, like, what is he viewed as around the league at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, believe it or not, I think there are people who have a great deal of respect for him. And if his last name wasn't Gruden, I think they would be saying the same things too. Now, obviously, he's a totally different animal than his brother. You know, he doesn't sort of have the national spotlight that John does and all that, and doesn't have the kind of rock star persona, of course. But, you know, I think people have praised his quarterback development, his offensive design, you know, sort of maximizing and getting the most out of the talent that he has, being able to switch gears and, you know, create a run game out of nothing and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think there is a healthy amount of respect for his offensive knowledge and his chops as a play caller. But, you know, being a head coach is also a lot of different things that really have nothing to do with that. And, you know, I mean, that's the difficulty about being an NFL head coach. You can be the best X and O's guys. You can understand how a game flow should go. But there are so many other hats to wear as an NFL head coach that nobody really knows who's prepared to do it until they're on the job. But I will say this. I think there is a healthy amount of respect for his coaching ability in terms of, you know, kind of squeezing the most out of what he has.
Eric Edholm with me here on The Fan. All right, let's circle back to the thing we were talking about before that. When you look at these quarterbacks, is there one, as you've started to watch them and talk to people around the league and got a sense of who they are as people, is there one you really like out of this group so far? Like, I haven't really done my evals yet. Everyone's asking, who do you think they should take? I'm like, I don't know. Ask me in mid-March. You get out ahead of this stuff more than I do. Where are you at with this quarterback class? Is there one that you're like, you know what? I actually really do like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kyler Murray's skill set. There's no question that he's got an NFL-caliber arm. The athleticism is, I mean, you know, my three-year-old daughter could tell that he's, I mean, it's unbelievable. And we just, I don't know that we've seen somebody with that kind of electric ability. Now, Lamar Jackson last year, look, he was an extremely creative runner and a tough runner. He took big hits and all that too. But I still say Kyler's on a different level as an athlete. I really think that, and Lamar is special in that regard, but Kyler can do some things that'll just wow you with that athleticism. But the obvious questions beyond the experience, he's only, you know, started 14 games, you know, is that frame going to hold up over time? And that's the biggest question I had with Lamar last year. Was Lamar didn't know how to slide. He didn't know how to run out of bounds and avoid hits. He was such a tough kid. He was really kind of bent to prove himself. You know, Kyler Murray is a little bit better at that. He's so elusive, whereas Lamar's speed tends to be a little bit more of a straight line. I'm just sort of comparing the athletic traits here, but I really think that if you scheme it up right and draw it up right, Kyler Murray can do things in this league as a starter and be very, very good. I think his ceiling is higher than Dwayne Haskins is, but even for a 13-game starter, Haskins, I think, is working from a very high platform. I really do. I think he comes into the NFL with fewer questions as a passer than, say, Mitch Trubisky did, who was another 13-game starter, a one-year starter in college football. So those two are probably your number one and two you know, I don't let my Missouri loyalty. I did go to school at Mizzou. I promise you, I don't let it color my view of Drew Lock, who is, you know, his best 20 throws last year might be as good as any you'll see in college football. His worst 20, you watch him and say, this guy doesn't belong in the NFL. So there's serious questions about his consistency, but the right coach, the right grooming, he's right up there in that level.
Yeah. Last thing for you real quick, and we can make this 30 seconds or less. Do you think there's a chance that Murray, or let me ask it this way, because of course there's a chance. What are the chances that Murray winds up going ahead of Haskins?
I think pretty good. I know that's not maybe how the wind is blowing right now, but I think he's the one with the wow factor that will just be a little bit more exciting. And it's not going to be every team that wants him, but it's going to be that one team that says, yeah, I'll move up for him. I'll be willing to hang my job on him. And that's really what it's going to take, because he's kind of in a unique category. But my gut says that he could go just ahead of him, maybe a pick or two or something like that. But that's, you know, it's still up in the air.
Whatever it's worth, I agree with you. I tend to think that if we do this in 2 weeks, the wind's going to be blowing the way that we said it's blowing now. So we'll see after Indy. I will see you in Indy. Safe travels, and we will convene there.
Looking forward to it, man.
You got it. That's Eric Edholm, at Eric_Edholm on Twitter. Really, really good writer about all things NFL, and specifically he has been all over the NFL draft for a long time. Again, on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm. Coming up next, can we just do this already?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A talk about Bryce Harper. Craig Hoffman with you. It's overtime on 106.7 The Fan. There's a dance going on in Major League Baseball. Manny Machado's been out of the dance. He found his partner. I guess, I don't know, maybe my analogy's already broken. There's a party happening, and Manny Machado found a dance partner. Meanwhile, the party's going on. Out on the dance floor, there's a space. And the Phillies are like, hey, Bryce. And Bryce is on the side like, hold on, let me finish my drink. Greg Hoffman with you on The Fan. That's not true because Bryce Harper doesn't drink, I believe. Maybe he's sipping on a regular old punch, not like a spiked punch, just a fruit punch. Anyway, that analogy sucked. The rest of this segment won't. I will say that I am very confused as to what is happening with Bryce Harper. And I thought it was put really well by Casey Stern of the MLB Network. We'll get to that conclusion in just a moment. But first, a set of facts. The owner of the Washington Nationals was on with NBC Sports Washington down at spring training and said something that seemed to close the door on Bryce Harper coming back.
Nothing's really changed on our end. We've moved on, as I said back then, and we had to. We there was no way we could wait around. And Bryce, I'm sure, will make his decision hopefully in the next few days. But we've filled out our roster. And like I said, we wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, there's always that the door is cracked a little bit. But I have no clue at this point what they're up to. I mean, we really haven't heard from them in a couple months.
That is Mark Lerner. Them would be the Washington, or sorry, Bryce Harper and Scott Boras and his team of agents. That seems like the Nats would be out on Bryce. But Mike Rizzo was on Grant and Danny, who were live at spring training, this afternoon and said this.
You know, we never turned a page. We wouldn't be doing our job if we eliminated segments of the free agent population, especially, you know, players that have that much ability level and that we know fulfill, you know, all the characteristics that we want in a player.
Basically, Bryce is awesome, if he wants to play here, well, we'd have to consider it. And technically, Lerner did leave the door open. But to me, this entire time has been, hey, I'm going to go test the market. When I see what the market is, we'll talk. Apparently, the we'll talk part has been a lot harder, according to Mark Lerner. But Casey Stern was on CBS Sports Radio last night on Pharrell on the Bench. And he put rather concisely in this minute you're about to hear something that I've thought for a long time, which is that it would seem if everything Bryce Harper wanted was in Philadelphia, he'd be in spring training right now with Philadelphia.
Comes down to this simple. The Nats, Bryce has been trying to get to come up and even up the Phillies. The Phillies have been waiting to offer him the highest offer. If he wanted to go to Philadelphia, Zach, he would have gone there in Vegas, in Harper's hometown, at winter meetings. Philadelphia was ready then, day one, to give him the highest offer and to give him over three and all of that. He doesn't want to go there. Why? Because why would he go to a team that's not as good as the team he was just on? He's got a statue, no pressure, the best version of the Nationals team. He's never been out of the first round outside of the home run derby, and he's a hero for coming back. Whereas you go to Philadelphia, you still may not be as good because they can't pitch anywhere close to as a staff overall where the Nationals are now. And, you know, I don't think he ends up wanting to be in Philly. So I think if the Nationals end up equaling where the Phillies are, it goes to D.C. I think if Philadelphia gives an 11th year, do something crazy where the AAV is much higher, he ends up in Philly. And I think it's that simple between those two teams.
That's Casey Stern of MLB Network on CBS Sports Radio last night. Now, a quick update. A source tells Jim Salisbury, who is the Phillies insider for NBC Sports in Philadelphia, that the owner of the Phillies, John Middleton, his plane is in Vegas. Of course, Vegas is where Harper is from and lives. Now, there are other things to do in Las Vegas, so I've heard. But it would seem that that potentially could be moving towards a deal if the owner is there to negotiate with Bryce, as long as Scott Boras is there too. But ultimately, what Casey Stern is saying is, hey, Nats, if you want Bryce, just offer him what Philly's offered. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Bryce Harper could have signed anywhere for a lot of money. Now, you can counter argument and say, if you wanted to sign in Washington, you could have signed the 10-year, $300 million offer they gave you as you exited their clubhouse for what was likely the last time all the way back in October. But he wanted to test the market. Obviously, Boras, who's all about getting every dollar he can ever get for somebody, which is his job theoretically as an agent. Really, his job is to do whatever his client wants. But most of the time, clients are like, hey, Scott, get me the most money. And he does that. They wanted to see not just what the market was, but especially what Manny Machado got. So if you're going, hey, he didn't want to sign in Philly because of Machado, and they wanted to see what Machado got. Well, now Machado's deal is done. Why is he not signed yet? It should have been bang, bang. Hey, all right, 300. Hey, we'll give you 310. Deal, done. I'm the highest paid player in baseball history. It would seem as if the reason Bryce Harper is not in Philadelphia is because Bryce Harper doesn't want to be in Philadelphia. They've, from a lot of the reporting, seemingly handed him a blank check. If a team hands you, if a radio station in Philadelphia handed me a blank check, you know why I wouldn't fill out a number and sign it? Because I don't want to be in Philadelphia. That's the only reason. By the way, radio stations in Philly, if you'd like to hand me a blank check, I'll happily fill it out and sign it. Bryce has some options. And whether he's waiting on San Francisco, maybe Boras thinks he can get San Francisco or Washington or one of the other two or three mystery teams that are still apparently floating out there, according to John Heyman a couple of days ago. As he said, up to five are still in contact. Maybe he thinks they can leverage even more money out of Philly because he knows that the Phillies are going to do whatever it takes and that there's nothing that will turn them off of Bryce Harper. If the price gets to $400 million, the Phillies are going to be like, $400? All right, let's play ball. And maybe that's the game that Boras and Harper are playing. But if I'm the Nationals, I want to find out. And this is ultimately where we take calls next and where I also give you more of an opinion next, because I have never understood moving on from Bryce Harper. Never. Not for one second have I ever thought that was a good idea. We'll talk about why, and we'll take your calls. 800-
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
636-1067. Next on the Fan. Greg Hoffman with you on The Fan. This is Overtime. I'll be back with you, by the way, on Sunday. I believe following Nats baseball.
Saturday.
Is there, we don't have a game on Sunday. What do we have on Sunday? The Caps are playing Sunday. Yeah. Afternoon game?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They're Sabres, I believe. No? They're playing the Sabres tomorrow?
I think it's the Rangers.
They're back-to-back.
Yeah, tomorrow against...
Good job with the schedule, Hoffman.
Sabres tomorrow.
Sabres tomorrow, Rangers Sunday.
Yep. Couple of day games for the Caps.
Yeah, matinee. I just know I'm here at 4 o'clock.
And I know I'm here, too, because I'm running the Nats game.
Nice. But not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday, but Saturday.
All right. Now that everyone's got that straightened out, let's continue our discussion about Bryce Harper and the Nationals, including an update from Jeff Passan of ESPN, who has changed his Twitter avatar to Elmo. Barring something completely unexpected, Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies will not be consummating a deal tonight, league sources tell ESPN. Owner John Middleton is in Las Vegas for more of a meet and greet than a sign a deal, sources said. Okay, then. Which makes my point that I'm about to make a lot better. Because initially, I thought that tweet was going to be, is signing with the Phillies, and I was going to go, oh, there goes my segment. The Washington Nationals should still sign Bryce Harper, and it's a freaking no-brainer. There are exactly one players that matter in Major League Baseball in terms of star power. That player is Bryce Harper. He's going to make, like, in a league with no salary cap, your monetary concern is this guy helping or hurting my bottom line? That's it. That's the list. There's no such thing as a budget. You set the budget. And by the way, if this guy's going to make you money, and Bryce Harper may be the literal only player in baseball who is going to make your team money by his own self because he is a star, then it would seem that that player's worth whatever you pay him. Bryce Harper puts butts in seats. Bryce Harper gets eyes on televisions, including, by the way, my eyes. I'm not a huge baseball guy. Look, I enjoy baseball. I'm a sports guy, obviously. But I'm not Craig. I'm not the high star over here going to 162 between the Nats and the O's. I'm not watching the Nats every night. I'm not watching the Nats most nights. But, hey, bottom of the sixth, two-run game, Harper's coming up. You bet your ass that I'm getting my butt in front of a television. Nevertheless, bottom nine. Bryce is a guy that matters. And he matters more here and to this team than any other. If he goes to the Phillies, the pizzazz of Bryce Harper takes a hit. Not because Philly's not a significant team and Philly's not a big market, but because Bryce Harper, Washington National is all we've known. Bryce Harper, Washington National is a brand that has value more than Bryce Harper Philly, Bryce Harper Giant. And so, are there holes to poke in Bryce Harper, the baseball player? Yes. Non-pitcher, is he still one of the best 10 in baseball? Unquestionably. Is he still one of the best 5 in baseball? Maybe. Is he still one of the best 3 in baseball with Mike Trout and Nolan Arenado? When he's at his best? Yeah. Now, will we get his best consistently? Still TBD. But the idea that he's not worth $300 million, if there's such a thing as a baseball player worth $300 million, is crazy. In a sport where it's not the NBA, LeBron doesn't, there is no such thing as a LeBron that can change your franchise. One player cannot do that in this sport. But he's, it's hard to assign value in the same way that you do in other sports. And I think it's fairer in this sport to take the box office element into a player's salary because there is no salary cap. And because of that, I would sign Bryce Harper tomorrow. I understand they have a lot of good players. I understand Victor Robles is on the way up, and they plan, just in case Bryce was gone from a baseball standpoint, to not be screwed in the outfield and to not be screwed in their lineup and to do as well as you possibly can to turn down significant trades along the way that could have gotten you players that maybe would have helped you because you did not want to deplete your farm system in case this guy left. But he clearly doesn't want to leave. So make the offer and sign him. Mark Lerner is worth $5 billion. $30 million a year ain't jack to him. And by the way, when Trout's going to make his money and some of these other young players, like Arenado still doesn't have his deal, right?
I believe he's supposed to be, he's had talks with extensions with the Rockies.
But he has not signed his mega deal yet.
He hasn't signed, nor has Rendon, which I'm curious if the Nationals would be interested in a guy like Nolan Arenado after this season if he doesn't sign with Colorado.
You know who else hasn't signed a mega deal? Aaron Judge. He's got years to go before he gets to arbitration. So you have all these guys that are going to probably challenge some of these biggest contracts in baseball. And a guy like Judge, like I'm pretty sure Aaron Judge, I looked this up last year. Let me double check this real quick. Aaron Judge, older or younger than Bryce Harper?
Is he younger?
He's older.
Really?
Aaron Judge is 26. He turns 27 in April. Bryce Harper's 26. He turns 27 in October. He's a full 6 months younger is Bryce Harper than Aaron Judge. And that's the biggest difference is, like, so many teams are scared of the Pujols deal. Pujols signed for, what, 8 years when he was 30? And we're not even sure that he was 30. Like, I hate to be that guy, but, like, there's some questions with Pujols and the age thing and whatever. But he was probably 30. Either way, like, you knew you were going to get him at 38. The second deal that A-Rod signed, like, he was well into his 30s. Of course you were going to have to deal with 6 bad years of that. Bryce is 26. The year should not scare you as much. Or if they do, what's 7 times 35? Would you pay? You can take 3 years off the end of the deal. Hey, Bryce, how about you hit free agency again at 33 instead of 36? Right? That's 7 years, $245 million. Would you sign Harper for that?
I think so.
I would.
Yeah.
I would. Now and if you're Boris, by the way, you get the highest AAV, and he gets to hit free agency again at 33 with a chance to sign one more big one, if a team will be stupid and sign him to a 10-year deal at 33, I'd do that in a second. But ultimately, it comes down to what Casey Stern said, the audio we played last segment. There's no reason that Bryce Harper wouldn't already be a Philadelphia Philly if he wanted to be a Philadelphia Philly. And so if you're the Nationals, I think you have to look at this and go, there's a reason why he hasn't signed there. He's awesome. He's worth a ton to us in marketing. let's make it happen. And I don't see the counter argument.
Here's my thought process on that. What if this is a long shot, but what if they're really interested in Mike Trout when he becomes a free agent next year? I mean, everyone's talking about Mike Trout and the Philadelphia Phillies, but what if deep down the Nationals are trying to be that mystery team next year for Mike Trout?
I mean,
who's a better player than Bryce?
Of course. But can you go, hey, we're going to get the guy that everyone wants next year. Like, we're going to outbid everybody. That seems, and you don't even know if he's going to give you a look. Look, there's a lot of reasons to think, especially if Bryce signs with the Phillies, right? Now that would seem to take the Phillies out of the Mike Trout sweepstakes, because are they going to pay $700 million over 10 years for two guys? Because Trout's a Philadelphia guy. Like, everyone thought that's where he's going to go. But Bryce would seem to take them out of that. The Yankees are going to certainly be in on Trout, because of course they are. Are the, like, a team like the Mets, they're going to be in. The Dodgers, they're going to be in. You know, the Nats, hey, we're close to Philadelphia. We have the money. We have a good team. Come on, play with us. You can take a train home whenever you want. Like, or a private jet or a helicopter, because you're going to make $400 million. But, like, even then,
It has to be part of the equation, you think, right?
I don't think it's crazy, but, and of course, Rendon, but like, outside of, we know how good Rendon is. But Grant was getting in arguments with Dusty Baker about batting Rendon sixth 2 years ago.
I remember that.
Like, Bryce is the MVP of the All-Star game, or is the biggest name in the All-Star game. Come on. It's worth something in a sport with no salary cap. All right. We can take calls on that, or we can not, and we can just play nonsense. Probably.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's what's going to happen next. We wrap up the show. It's overtime on the Fan. All right, a couple things to close out the show. First, clean up on aisle Vic. Mike Trout, free agent 2020, not 2019. A free agent after 2020, in 2021. Not after this season. It's all right. I forgot what position Madison Bowie played. Also, in Oklahoma City, Markieff Morris just checked in for the Thunder, his first game for OKC after being traded and then released. Of course, from the Wizards. Wizards lost. Bradley Beal, 46. That's nice. Unfortunately, it was not enough. All right, I wanted to get to a couple things. One, the best thing I saw all week. And then the other is this from Charles Barkley last night on Inside the NBA. The audio, maybe? Okay.
The most ridiculous one over there that's still living that you would say has no chance of happening.
Two black guys beating the black guy up
and having a black guy.
This is, they're looking at a list of ridiculous things that Charles Barkley has said.
That's not
chortling.
The Clippers will not make the playoffs.
A series of sticky notes on the wall. It's stupid what percentage of my shows end in dumb things Charles Barkley says on this show.
The Lakers will not make the playoffs. The Kings will is the latest edition. Go ahead, Kenny. I can't believe you, Chuck.
You're paying with cash?
Chuckster.
You're paying with cash or you write him a check, Chuck?
Never break. Hey, listen, America.
Chuckster. How?
America. Let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks. Come on, man. You cannot. If you're going to break the law, do not write a check.
Jesus, Chuck.
Because you're writing a check, then what? You're behind cash.
Yo, man, you cannot.
Use cash up.
Hey, get cash, man. I never used an ATM. Now, you can only, I heard you can only get $200 out of it.
Charles,
$500.
Charles, stop, literally.
Chuck is trying to save him.
I'm about to make a lot of stop to the ATM.
Charles will not be saved.
But you said, Chuck, America.
America, do not write checks when you commit illegal activity.
I cannot believe that we completed, we touched them all right there. Circle the bag.
Hey, he just said he
touch every pillow.
He just said the Lakers would make the playoffs. Jesse said that.
America,
hey Jack,
don't commit.
Jesse, you wasted all that damn time and money. You know what you should have did?
What's that?
Just went out in Liam Neeson's neighborhood.
Oh no!
Solved all your bad problems.
That is Inside the NBA last night, ending possibly forever. If you don't know what he's referencing with the Liam Neeson stuff, just Google Liam Neeson. Yikes, man. Hard left turn. A hard left turn. I saw this on Twitter earlier this week. This will give you that. If you're still laughing, take a deep breath and then prepare to get hit in the feels. Good. We're going to skip the Kevin Harlan one. Vic, you are done for the night. Your job now is to make sure that in 1 minute, I stop talking. This note is dated February 20th. It says hi, and then it's blanked out. But I'll just read you this note that got posted on the interwebs by someone named @OriginalYoni. I found many old VHS tapes recently, and I wanted to see what is on them, and I realized I had no player. So I went to eBay for the first time and discovered your offer. I bought your VHS, and you shipped it within a few days. The VHS looks new and unused. Amazing. I had some issues getting it going, which were mine and not the player. I am 86 and perhaps not up to my game, but I do get there eventually. And I did, and discovered the VHS works perfectly. Thank you so much for your care, your efforts, and your promptness. I watched tapes of my retirement party from 25 years ago, which I had never seen before. Jeez, we were young. Then a tape of my wedding with all the family and friends, many of which are no longer around. Then skiing trips, kids growing up, travels, and most importantly, the gentle maturing of my family. Each one more fun than the last, all thanks to your generous selling of the VHS player. I thought you would appreciate how much someone has enjoyed your offer. That doesn't make you feel good on a Friday night. You have no soul. Hope you do. I'm Craig Hoffman, and I'll see you Sunday here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.